Here we go. Okay. Oops, and I'm supposed to read this. I have no financial relationship with commercial interests relevant to this presentation that existed in the past 12 months. So, one thing that we're really proud of at HHS is how Healthy People continues as it goes into its fourth decade to serve as the foundation and kind of the glue that holds all of the administration's prevention-related initiatives together. A lot of folks might wonder why we have so many different initiatives. We have the National Prevention Strategy. We have the HIV/AIDS Strategy. We have the Hepatitis Prevention Strategy. Those all provide a different focus on prevention, but Healthy People's there. It's been there for a long time, and it's a real solid foundation on which to build these additional initiatives that actually give prevention a boost in the arm. But Healthy People's there provides a solid source of data that Rebecca will talk about in a while. And we feel like working together, all these different efforts, whether it's in your communities or with different initiatives, that together we can build the momentum to achieve our national goals. So in other words, there's no turf here. We like to share the Healthy People prevention feeling with everyone. So here you can see that Healthy People has indeed been around for a long time, and we've grown. I think initially we had thought it would be good to be focused and direct people's attention and efforts toward a small number of priorities. But as Healthy People continues to exist across decades, across administrations, more and more people realize that there's a benefit to having an inclusive prevention effort, one that gives everyone a platform to push their initiatives forward or whatever their special interest is. And one of the limitations or restrictions to being Healthy People is that you do have to have data. If we didn't have that data requirement, you see the number in that bottom row, we've grown to 1,200 measures, would be even larger. There are several other groups who wanted to have measures in Healthy People 2020, but they didn't have the data for us. So we told them to keep trying and visit us again. Healthy People continues to be federally led, but it's driven by our stakeholders. We have, even within the federal government, tried to pull in different stakeholders. If you see that federal interagency work group that has 28 federal agencies, that's not just within HHS. We have Department of Ed, EPA, USDA, Interior, and it goes on, the VA, that all are helping us develop these objectives and implement them. Because what we've realized with Healthy People 2020 is for three decades, we worked within HHS, and we've branched out. We've included other disciplines as well, since you can't really improve health just by focusing on your health partners. It's like singing to the choir. We have to pull in all these other partners as well. And also, one thing that was a bit different for 2020, we had a Secretary's Advisory Committee, which is the first time this has happened with Healthy People, to have a fully public advisory committee that was led by Jonathan Fielding from LA County Health Department, and vice chairman was Sharifi Komunika from the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. And joining those two were 10 other experts in the field of disparities, health economics, life stages approaches, global health. So we tried to pull in a diverse group of stakeholders to advise us, and they were outside of the government, so that helped us think outside the box. If you asked a bunch of feds to develop Healthy People, we would do what we could do within our budgets, and we wouldn't dream. We probably wouldn't think big, because we thought, well, if we said we're going to do this, we don't have the budget, plus we don't have the staff. So we had our Secretary's Advisory Committee, who could just really think outside the box, bring us these outrageous recommendations that we worked with, and we've come so much farther than we would have otherwise. We also have our stakeholders in the state and local governments. Every state has a Healthy People coordinator, and Dalton works closely with those folks, and I might tell you a little bit more about that. We have our consortium. The consortium's actually been around for a few decades, but one thing that we did this decade, thanks to the General Counsel at HHS, the General Counsel allowed us to open up membership beyond nonprofits. which makes absolute sense, since corporations and businesses and work sites are where you spend most of your time, and they have the resources and the drive to ensure that not only their employees are healthy, but their communities as well. If a work site or a corporation is located in a healthy community, chances are its product is going to be better too. So that's an exciting development for us, and we're actually up close, I think, to 3,000 members at this point. We work with community-based organizations, and something that our Assistant Secretary for Health, Howard Coe, and Jonathan Fielding, and the rest of the advisory committee has challenged us to do with Healthy People 2020 is drill down to the individual level, which is something we haven't done before. We tend to think that we work with policymakers and in the different levels of government, but we've taken different approaches. We have an all-new website that we hope is user-friendly, and we're providing resources and interventions through that website. Our framework for Healthy People 2020 is built on the social determinants of health. That was something we decided early on we needed to do, and it was reinforced by our advisory committee and public comment. We have four overarching goals this decade, as opposed to the two we had last decade. We still have overarching goals that strive to improve the length and quality of life. We have the eliminating disparities overarching goal that we had the last decade, but we've kind of pushed the envelope a little bit to include health equity. We've added those last two, which are new, the social and physical environments, that gets down to the social determinants of health. And then also the last one with the recognition that life across the lifespan is an approach to health. We have to look at all age groups. Our new topic areas are about 13. We've added the life stages topic areas. We've also added, we have three topic areas that are in development because we haven't identified the specific objectives yet. And though we do have a social determinants of health leading health indicator, that metric is actually pulled for another topic area, but we have a work group that's working hard to develop unique measures that aren't represented anywhere else in Healthy People. Some of these topic areas actually grew out of public comment. I think it's an example of how we are stakeholder-driven. We put ideas out from the federal level, but we listen to our stakeholders. We did not have a sleep health topic area to begin with, but that group was very vocal and came to us, and we said, no, you don't have data, but they continued, they actually found the data, worked with NIH and others, and were able to present data for us, so we have sleep objectives. Also, the dementias, including Alzheimer's, was missing when we went out for public comment, and then once we thought about it, it was kind of embarrassing when you look at the trend in the nation and what our population's like. We're going to be a nation full of old folks pretty soon. But our premier prevention agenda did not address dementia, Alzheimer's. So we had comments on that. In fact, we were called to the Hill to say why. And we thought, well, gosh, that I don't know. Didn't seem like we needed it. We thought we couldn't prevent Alzheimer's. So we couldn't include it. But that really rallied the Administration on Aging, NIH, and CDC. And they all put their heads together and came up with the research to show that you could prevent maybe or delay the onset of Alzheimer's. They came up with data. So we were able to add some objectives with that. So it really is an example of how we are stakeholder driven. If people have issues, we listen to you and we move forward accordingly. So I mentioned what's all new for Healthy People is our website. In fact, that website homepage changed at 8 o'clock this morning, but I wasn't savvy enough to do the screenshot, produce another slide, and put it on here. But what you'll see now at where it says what's new for 2020 is other prevention initiatives and strategies. We're linking to, we're becoming the portal for everything prevention in the administration. So you click on that square and it'll take you to a page with a list of all the different prevention initiatives. Then you can link to them and find out more about them. So our goal really is to start aligning and collaborating and integrating so that we're all working towards the same goal. And also there's a new tab at the right-hand side of the slide, the Leading Health Indicator tab, takes you to the Leading Health Indicators that were launched this morning. And that was by design. That's why there's a blank there, because we knew that we would have those one day. Here we go. Oops, actually, let me go back. Because Stacy McBride is our chair of our Health Promotion Summit for spring of 2012. And I want you all to, if you can, join us in Washington in spring of 2012. And there's more information on this a little bit later. Oops. Then if you were to click on the tab on the homepage to topic areas and objectives, that'll take you to basically a table of contents for the objectives in Healthy People 2020. Organized alphabetically, and click on whichever topic area you want, and it'll take you to the objectives for that topic area. You can also download any of the objectives, either the whole set, which is about 350 pages, or you can do it by topic area if you don't want the entire thing. So if you were to click on the tobacco use link on the table of contents, it would take you to the tobacco use homepage, which provides you some general information about the topic area. You can also then click on the objectives, and it'll take you to all the different objectives for tobacco use. And you'll see our baseline and our target setting method and data source. There are also links to previous objectives. If there's something that's carried over from Healthy People 2010, that link will be there so you can see where we've come and now where we're going. And also there's the link to the Health Indicators Warehouse that will provide the data, at least for now. I think Rebecca will talk more about this, for all the population breakout data for each of the objectives. And here, this is just a screenshot of the Health Indicators Warehouse that you'll hear more about from Rebecca. Then one thing we're really proud of with Healthy People 2020, we had a lot of complaints and criticism over the past decades that we were simply throwing out a bunch of objectives and data, but we weren't providing any tools. We kind of said, okay, we've done our job, it's up to you, and we're moving on to something else. So what we've done, through this website, we're trying to create tools that will either help you as our constituents or others find resources for implementing the specific objectives or developing your own disease prevention health promotion plan. And this we had for Healthy People 2010, the MAP IT guide. It's Mobilize, Assess, Plan, Implement, and Track. We had a hard copy of this for Healthy People 2010, but we put it online. And we actually have gotten a lot of interest in this because we use the University of Kansas as an example toolkit. They have a great planning toolkit. And they were delighted to be part of our website. They've never had MAP IT on their website. They use something else called MAP. But as a result of what we're doing with Healthy People, they've now changed their website. They have another category for MAP IT, and they're working with us to develop resources. We've also been doing something similar with NACHO and some other groups. So it's given visibility to some tools that have been around for a long time. And we'll eventually be populating our site with examples of scenarios that have worked in communities. So here you go. This is the what we're linking to right now. It's kind of the low-hanging fruit, the recommendations from the clinical guide, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, and also from the community guide that's run out of CDC. And then we provide consumer information by linking to another website we run in our office called healthfinder.gov. But as I said, eventually we will populate our website with more examples. And what this represents here are the criteria that we will use to decide what to post on our website in terms of what can be considered evidence-based, a best practice, or a promising practice, or even sometimes a good idea. But we started thinking about this website several years ago, and as the federal government, anything you post on a website has to be kind of squeaky clean, and you have to have clear criteria for how you've decided to post it there. So just because you know someone in an organization that's doing something interesting, you have to weigh the value of that up against clear criteria. So it took about 2 years to develop what you see in front of you here, the different levels of criteria. What we'll be doing eventually is posting an opportunity online for different groups to submit their best practices, and they'll be weighed by our federal interagency work group as to whether or not the criteria are met, and if they are, at what level are they being met, and then we'll be able to post those practices online. So it gives Healthy People users a chance to see what's happening in other communities. So this is something new for us, and we're really excited about it. So, and this will also help us populate our monthly releases for the leading health indicators that Howard Koh spoke about this morning. So, the leading health indicators, that's probably the newest thing with Healthy People. That was just launched this morning at 10:30 in the jam-packed conference room, our meeting room. But some people have said, well, why leading health indicators? Why do we need these? You've got huge Healthy People. You've got other initiatives that are targeted. Why do you need the leading health indicators? Well, leading health indicators not only target priority issues, but they really provide an opportunity to communicate important health issues by bringing those up to the top. We will, in people's minds, each month we will highlight, there are 12 of them, we'll highlight a different indicator. And we want to get the point across that each of these topics is important for people to pay attention to, whether you're a lay person or not. Also, we're hoping that by learning about the leading health indicators, getting key information, will motivate action, and we'll also be able to assess the health of the U.S. population. So here are the different areas. There isn't one topic here that isn't important to everyone in the room or someone you know or even a lay person. So while you might not be a lay person, maybe your mom or your brother or your sister, they need to know the importance of getting to having a regular source of care through access to health services, or the importance of getting your preventive screening. So what the leading health indicators will do will provide an opportunity for discussion. Also announced this morning with our LHI app challenge, the website is open as of today to take applications. The winners will be announced at the April 10th and 11th Health Promotion Summit in Washington, D.C., and there's actually money attached to this time. We don't usually give money out, but we got permission to do that, working with General Counsel and everyone else we had to. So we encourage you to work with your, if you're a health, public health professional, you know, find, as Todd Park would call it, the developer geeks, and work with them and come up with some exciting way to push health information out there. And here's the slide that Stacy's waiting for, the National Health Promotion Summit. This started out, if you saw slides last year at APHA, we advertised it as the Healthy People Implementation Conference, but we realized that we're pretty well known. I think Healthy People is very well known, but we really wanted to draw in all the other prevention efforts going on today. So we kind of dropped the Healthy People part. We're taking abstracts that demonstrate linking Healthy People with the National Prevention Strategy, the HIV/AIDS strategy, whatever the initiative is. We want to see how you're working together across boundaries and with other sectors. So the abstracts are being accepted until November 9th. We delayed the close of it for the APHA so folks here could have an opportunity to learn about it. Registration will open in January. Oops. So looking ahead, please stay tuned to our website. It'll continue to grow as we add different resources and interventions. We also will be changing. We're kind of a dynamic system. We'll have opportunities for adding objectives, adding topic areas throughout the decade, which we haven't done in the past, but a lot happens with each year. We had 9/11 after the launch of Healthy People, 2010. We had the threat of the flu pandemic. We had the hurricanes. We had a rigid structure that didn't allow us to change, to add things. So Healthy People 2020, we have a process now that will involve public comment that will allow us to add new issues and drop some if we have to. That Who's Leading the Leading Health Indicators is the monthly release on the LHIs that will start in January. And again, we have that summit. We also are on Twitter. I think we had, 2,000 tweets this morning, over 2,000 tweets at the LHI launch. We're on LinkedIn. We're even on YouTube. You can go to our website and sign up for email updates and join the consortium and all sorts of other ways to get information. So actually, I'm not taking questions now because we're waiting until the end, but thank you. And now, Dalton, it's all yours.
Thank you.